the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Specials Podcast for another weekend. We've got X Factor and Strictly Come Dancing to look forward to. Plenty more on the Specials pages as well. If you like a Specials bet, loads of awards. The BBC Sports Personality of the Year. The Oscars are on there too. But we're going to concentrate on the TV shows in the company of Reality Rob Dixon. Hello, Rob.
Good afternoon.
And Andy Holding is on the phone. Hi, Andy.
Hi, guys.
You well?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. Let's do Strictly first, shall we? It's got the higher ratings and...
Definitely higher ratings.
It's more entertaining to watch at the moment, to be fair. We saw the couples dancing for the very first time on our TV live, Andy, and a fantastic show as well. Peter Andre solidified his position at the top of the market. He's 7-4. Helen George, 5-1. Jay McGuinness, 11-2. We talked about him being maybe the one guy you probably could back at any sort of price. Judge May for 8-1, Katie Derham the same price, Anita Rani 10s, Anthony Ogogo 20s, as is Daniel O'Donnell, Kelly Bright same price, Jamelia Big Drifter out to 22s, Kirsty Gallagher on the same price, Ainsley 50s, Ewan Thomas 80s, Carol Kirkwood and Jeremy Vine out with the washing at 100-1. Who impressed you most? Who was most disappointing for you, Andy?
I think it was easy to say who disappointed me the most or who wasn't impressive, because I think the rest of them, there was a good 10 in there, I think, who set a really good standard, and it looks a very, very exciting series. I certainly think from a bookmaking perspective, you've got a good chance of getting a bit of a result. I think there's one or two journeys, there's a few dark horses, there we go, got the old cliches in straight away. Peter Andre was the best dancer. Obviously they're giving the pimp spot and he did really well, but the problem is with Peter is he's obviously got a bit in an advantage by being such a good dancer anyway and a good performer, that I just don't know where he can go, to be honest. He's going to obviously score really well pretty much for the first 5-6 weeks because of his technique, but I think he's the right favourite, but at the same time I think he's a bad favourite, if that makes any sense, because I do think there's plenty of good possibilities in behind him. I was really impressed with Jay. I actually liked him as well. He looks a very nice guy, very modest, a little bit shy, and I think he come across as being having a nice personality, and I do think a lot of the housewives will get behind Jay, and I think that's an interesting matchup in a head-to-head with Peter going down the show. I thought Helen George was really polished, as we expected. She did a very good dance to start off with. She got quite a good following on YouTube as well. I'll get onto that in a second, because that was always a good indicator. I thought Katie Durham was excellent. She had a very tough week first off the bat with a jive, but obviously with Anton, who, you know, the kind of like the public in the series needed a good dancer to get behind him, and that happened. I thought Anita was really good with Gleb. I thought Kelly Bright was, she had a bit of potential. And for me, the best one on the whole week was Georgia. I thought Georgia May foot in the jive with Giovanni was just sensational. And interesting as well that she got the most YouTube playbacks by an absolute country mile. She got 61,000 playbacks. Wow. The nearest to that was 55,000, which was Peter Andre. But then you get into sort of like the 30s and the 20,000. So there was a huge, huge jump between George, Peter and the rest. And I think that they, personally for me speaking, not only did a very good dance, but they had the best chemistry. But her and Giovanni just like... looked as though they got something going on. They're almost kind of like in a romance situation. And technique-wise, I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, you talked about the match bet between Georgia and Helen last week. It's 4-7 Helen, 5-4 Georgia May Foot. One bet that I like, Andy, from this weekend is Georgia May Foot top three, 13-8. I mean, it's not the biggest price in the world, but I think she's got a genuine chance of being in the three.
Right, yeah. Top 3 point score?
Top three finish for the actual show.
Oh, for the actual show. I beg your pardon. Yeah,
I think she could be top female. You know, given what we've seen so far.
Well, I think the female category is really, really difficult. The other category is the dead straight match. There's no, you know, we don't need to look any further than Peter Andre, Jamie McGuinness. You know, the other guys aren't just good enough. But I think the girls, that's a really tough category. You know, you can make cases out for all of them. I think it's where they start and where they end, isn't it, on this, that's going to be the definitive point. You know, Helen obviously has got a good background. We know that she's got a little bit of dance experience. She comes fresh off, you know, having quite a good technique and being taught the basics. Whereas, you know, the likes of Katie, Georgia, Anita and Kelly, they've got zero experience. So they technically have got a bit of an advantage over Helen, not necessarily in the fundamentals, the basics, but the fact that they've got the sort of, they start at the bottom rung of the ladder and they can only go one way. And I think that's generally how the winner has been defined in the last year or two, hasn't it? The one that's kind of surprised the public and the one that they get behind. So I still maintain that match bet shouldn't be as wide apart as it is. I think Helen just probably would tip it at the moment, but Georgia, as the series goes on, particularly the way she started, I think might just gather a bit more momentum and eventually gobble up Helen and overtake her.
Rob, what did you make of the first live show?
Yeah, there wasn't sort of overly too many shocks when you price these things up based on sort of just names more than performances at the start. You can tend to put a few ricks, but the order where they finished, the scoring order, wasn't too far away. We obviously knew that Peter Andre was going to do well. Helen George, with her background, Jake obviously got decent fan support. Anita Rowney, I think, was the one that we'd sort of not really sort of factored into consideration. She was sort of 20-25 to 1 before last Friday, and I think she's short as sort of 10 to 1 now. Again, she had the pimp slot. She had the Friday night pimp slot, but I mean, 27 is just, for me, just confused that top female market even more. It was difficult enough to work out last week, and if you start to add sort of Anita to the mix as well, then obviously, as Andy said, with Helen, Anita, Georgia, even Kelly and Katie in there, then it's sort of a conundrum at the moment to work out which way they're going to go. Towards the bottom, I was probably most disappointed more in Kirsty Gallagher. I thought a little bit more was expected of her. She only got 20, sort of put her down with sort of Ainsley Harriet. Jamelia, another one who was talked about quite strongly before the start of the show, only scored 21, and I think both of those are going to be under pressure. Maybe one of them could get caught into the bottom two net this week.
It's interesting. Anita Ryan is an interesting one, isn't she? Because she's flown under the radar a lot in the preamble to the show. I mean, I count us in this as well. I don't really remember us talking about Anita Rani massively.
Not really.
No one has. And, you know, and even when I look at what she's done, I don't really recognise her as being off the telly.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you anything that she's ever done.
And there's a lot of the BBC sort of current affairs type thing.
Yeah, she's got a journey in her, but I mean, it's hard to see that she's going to be an eventual winner. But what about the big drifters, the two female drifters? We talked a lot about Jamelia, or I have, and Kirsty Gallagher, both out to 22 to 1. I mean, they're the biggest drifters in the market.
Yeah, you've got to hope that they've had nerves maybe starting, and it's one bad week. I mean, Kirsty was on second on Saturday. Jamelia was on eighth, but they're both doing the waltz. They both did the waltz last week, so I mean, maybe, but just put it down to maybe a bad dance, and hopefully they will get better. But I mean, Kirsty's got the Sousa this week, which is difficult to get. Sort of that could go wrong quite easily. Jamelia's got the Cha 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 again, another one that's not gonna high score a lot. I think Peter was the highest scoring Cha 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 last week, but you saw Carol struggle. Jeremy Vine down with 19 points. There's a chance that they could both get sucked into this bottom two.
The first elimination market. We did talk about this last week, of course, when the top of the market sat Daniel O'Donnell and Jeremy Vine with Carol Kirkwood as well. And now it's Ewan Thomas who leads this market at 9-4. Carol Kirkwood 11-4. Jeremy Vine now 11-2. And Daniel O'Donnell, who was the tip last week, really before seeing any dancing, at 6-1. We've got the list of what they're doing this weekend, which I'm no doubt you've looked at. Yeah. Are there any of those dancers that look like car crashes to you, or conversely look fantastic?
Well, the key is the ones who struggled last week in the Latin, where they were a little bit exposed and they were left in isolation, the likes of Carol, for instance. They've got a chance to sort of make up for their wrongs, and right their wrongs, if you like, because some of them are now doing the ballroom dancers, which means they're going to be helped a little bit. Their mistakes are going to be sort of masked to a degree. So Carol, from obviously doing a weak cha-cha when she was very much exposed with Pasha last week, she's now doing the American Smooth. Mm. So it gives her a chance to sort of paper over the cracks and perhaps look a little bit better on the eye. Still think she's maybe just popular enough to get through. Although I think if she's in a dance-off, she could be vulnerable. I think Jeremy Vine was one of the surprise packages of the whole show. Not necessarily because he danced brilliantly. I think he's a bit of a dad's dancing type, but I think that's probably warmed into the general public. He certainly threw everything at it. He came across as having a great personality for someone you expect to be a little bit more stern and not so vibrant as he was. And I think his price has drifted accordingly. Ewan Thomas is the interesting one, really, because there was speculation going into the show that perhaps all was not well in the Ewan Ola camp, for one reason or another. And it started off pretty mundanely, to be honest. They tried to jazz it up a little bit by putting an athletic theme into it. But all in all, the tango was a bit disjointed. It didn't look great. His YouTube hits were the absolute lowest, with only 5,000, so nobody really wanted to play that back. And interesting as well, the digital spy polls, which basically is a combination of who danced the best but also is the most popular person on there. They were right down there towards the bottom with only 1.81%. So I don't think anyone's really warming to Ewan at the moment. And more importantly, you'd think having been in isolation a little bit last week and having... a little bit of a sort of free hand, he's now in the cha-cha this week, which even more exposes bad technique. I think he could really struggle this week. It's not a great surprise, therefore, to see him favourite to go, because I just don't think he's going to score high. And plus the fact he's perhaps not that popular. You know, he's not on TV much. He's very much a Sky Sports based person.
He's got a bit of arrogance about him as well, I think, Ewan Thomas.
Yeah.
I mean, not sportsmen obviously often do, but you know, it looks a little standoffish, and I don't think there's a lot of love for Ola.
Yeah, I think the arrogance anymore. Can be also confused by determination and wanting to do well. It's a steely determination, which I think he's getting mixed up, and I think the general public are probably finding it difficult to come to terms with that. All in all, I think he's really vulnerable this week. If he gets into the bottom two and that cha-cha's bad, I think he could be a goner, because if he's up against, let's say, someone who's dancing in hold, i.e. Carol, i.e. Jeremy. Don't forget Jeremy's got the American Smooth this week. And, you know, because he's quite a tall, elegant chap, then, he could easily just knock him out. So who's going to go in with Ewan? We're saying that Ewan might get there. I mean, it could well be Kirsty Gallagher, you know. I mean, Rob's already touched upon the point that Kirsty was a big disappointment. I must admit, she did disappoint me as well, not only with her poor dance technique, generally just frozen by nerves as well. Hopefully she'll be a little bit better this week. I still wanted to do well. It's not as if I wanted to do badly, because I think the show needs someone in like Kirsty. Brendan will be a big loss as well. But she just seemed to lack all confidence at all. And she also, having done badly in the hold one, she could be even worse in the one out of hold in the Latin with the salsas. Rob's already touched upon a very, very difficult dance to do for the female celebrities. She'd be very conscious. She could be very vulnerable in isolation. It's a sexy dance, and at the moment, I just don't think she's able to put her personality and put her sexiness into it. Because of her nerves, I just think she's looking to get through the routine and get it over and done with, and that could spell disaster for her. So if I was betting this week, I'd probably mix my bets up. I see that Rob's already cut Kirsty Gallagher from double figure odds to nines, and I think that's not a bad move. So I'll probably split my stakes, because I think if one of those two's in there because of their poor technique and because they're in the Latin section, I think either Ewan or Kirsty could go this week.
Yeah, the only other one that I'd have put is the fact that Ewan's got... He had quite a late slot on the Saturday, which probably means he gets an early slot this week. And with a two-hour show, the performances early on can probably quite easily get forgotten about. And that. So, especially with all 15 dancing on the same night. So
I think that's a good point as well. That's the fact that there's so many of them, Rob, that can be you can get forget. Remember, you know, you're voting for your favourite here.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very easy with such a big field to not to forget about people. And especially if you're not warming to him, there's no reason to remember him, is there?
No, not at all.
What about Daniel O'Donnell? We mentioned him last week, of course. He's got the Charleston this week, the waltz last week. The waltz played into his hands in a sense, didn't it? You know, I imagine it's, you know, an easier dance to look good at as a man. What about the Charleston?
Well, it shouldn't necessarily suit someone like Daniel's personality. At the moment, he comes across being very pan-faced. He almost like hasn't seemed to got any kind of like go or life in him. It's almost like you have to beat it out of him. But you know, I think he did a nice waltz. He showed good footwork. Len liked it. Len's very much a traditionalist, so he's obviously going to be banging into that. Now, his Charlton, there's a chance for him to show the other side of his character personality if he has got one in at all. I mean, I've seen the YouTube clips and it doesn't look too bad. Obviously, he's just marking it out and he's got to put a lot more pizzazz into it. But, you know, he's, you know, although he's yesterday's man, he's still got a big following, and I think he's got a big enough following perhaps just to scrape through. I mean, he got 34,000 playbox on YouTube, and for someone who's, you know, easily forgettable, that's a massive figure, that is. And I think a lot of Irish people looking at that and perhaps you know, wanting to keep him in there for a little while now. So even though it's not necessarily his greatest dance at Charleston, if he does a good one or comes across as being a little bit more surprising than we're expecting, I think he'll probably just sail through this week.
Yeah, there's something about that 6-1 after what we said last week. I don't think too much has changed. It still looks a bit big for me. To me, yeah, what were you be looking at then, Rob? Are you going with the favourite to go first?
Yep, can't really see anything other than Ewan being in the bottom two. I think Carol survives with the BBC breakfast lot getting behind her. Similarly, Jeremy Vine with Radio 2 should be okay. I can make a case for Daniel O'Donnell. I thought he actually did a little bit better than I'd sort of marked him in for on the last week, so I can pass on him. Kirsty, it's just whether she gets over those nerves. If she doesn't, then 9-1 is a big price in a dance, which will probably show her up if there are struggles still. I think Ainsley's fine at 10. This brings me to the other two. Really, Anthony Agogo, got to see how that shoulder, it's that shoulder issue that they were talking about last week, is going to be a big worry, I think, as the show goes on, and that's probably going to be the difference between his chances of sort of really going a long way in the competition. If the shoulder's bad, then they might decide to somehow try and cut quite early. I still think Jamelia, though, 20-1 first elimination,
really,
based on the idea that if Ewan survives, if I don't really see how Ewan survives against anybody in this field, but if Ewan does avoid the public vote or avoid the bottom two, then I can see Jamelia being in there. I mean, it's the same. She danced eighth on Saturday, which means she should get an early slot again this week. Those 15 dancers all together, I can just see. I just think 20-1, I think, is a big price.
Yeah, both of those two, incidentally, were very low down on the popularity vote.
Yeah.
Anthony only got 1.12%. The lowest, funny enough, was Jeremy Vine, which is a bit bizarre because even though he came across as being a bit better than what we expected.
Yeah, he looked all right, didn't he?
And there was only actually 12 votes for him on that poll I looked at. It was a very small sample.
Yeah.
So it's a bit.
There were a couple of sixes, obviously. Craig's two has sort of knocked it. If he'd have probably judged it, to me it was a 4 or 5, and you add that and then you think he's up in the sort of 21-22, which would have probably put him a lot safer than he's going to be now, isn't it? But
yeah, that's interesting. I mean, if we were betting on the bottom two, from what you guys have said, I think there's a bit of fat in that. I mean, Ewan Thomas and Daniel O'Donnell, or Ewan Thomas and Kirsty Gallagher, would both get you a nice bottom two sort of price, wouldn't it? 6-1 for Daniel O'Donnell and 9-1 for Kirsty Gallagher to go. So
yeah,
interesting. And you know, I think great advice about, you know, I think that makes perfect sense about Ewan Thomas struggling in any dance offer, I suppose. But yeah, some nice prices around, Andy, so hopefully we get off to a bit of a flyer.
Yeah, it's been, like I said, I think the first week has been really, really exciting. I actually thoroughly enjoyed the show. I thought it had everything, really. I mean, it's great to have the show back. It's one of the best shows on TV, and it kicked X Factor out the window, really. For just the feel of it all. And there's some great people on there who really embrace the show, obviously going to get behind it. We've got hopefully some good betting markets coming out in the next few weeks. So I hope, like I say, Rob's going to price up a few more. That's what we need. We need to make it a bit more fun, and the more bets we can have, the more fun it'll be.
Indeed. And I suppose the advice is still 7-4 Peter Andre. That's just going to get chipped in and in and in and in. I'd be amazed if he leaves before the final. Honestly, I mean, we were looking back, weren't we, Robert? You know, favourites pre-show who've gone on to win it. And we think probably only Harry McFly and and Cara Toynton, maybe?
Yeah, Cara Toynton, I think, was fab from the first week. I think Harry Judd would have been in
he
the top three,
fav.
Wouldn't he?
He was definitely fav.
Definitely.
Yeah, he was, yeah. I remember him being 5-2 because Robbie tipped him up, and so I thought, it's a bit short for me to tip up and wait. But remember, and Robbie, I must mention it again, Robbie, he told us Jay McGuinness from the outset, and nothing to look back on that one. X Factor, do you want a quick chat about X Factor? Have you watched the latest shows?
Yeah, I'm still a bit behind the ball, lads, with this, so I'll probably give it a pass.
Yeah,
I watched the first week of Boot Camp, but I haven't watched the second week. I've just had too much on, really, with one or two things going on, so I'll let you guys talk about it expertly, and then perhaps join you next week when we're getting towards judges' houses, and then I'll probably have a few more comments to make.
No problem, Andy. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Enjoy Strictly.
Thanks
a lot. Good luck with your bets. X Factor. Then we saw week two of Boot Camp, where they had to get up and sing on their own. I've been saying for a few weeks here, Rob, that there isn't an act who's made me sit up and take notice, and I kind of forgot when I was saying that about Sean Miley Moore, and it reminded me when we watched X Factor last week that he is the standout contestant this year in terms of his persona, his dress sense, the way he acts, and his voice. He's got the full package. The X Factor have finally got the freak act in the nicest possible sense. You know what I mean by that?
We've got the good freak act.
Who can do it?
Basically, yeah.
They don't need to have a Stevie Ritchie, a Rylan, a Wagner, or anything. They've got it there. They can throw all the money at him and his performances every week. It's just whether, and interestingly enough, and I'm the first to hammer X Factor, I thought his performance, the VT before, and the way the judges actually reacted to it was, for once, a very nicely constructed piece of TV production. They said afterwards he was fantastic, and the conversation between the judges was, but will the public get it? You know, Carol was saying, you act like a winner. Will the public get it? That's the thing. Will the public allow a man who cross-dresses, who hasn't been living in Britain, and who is obviously different to the norm, win X Factor? That's the question.
Yeah, I think they will.
I think they would.
I mean, when Conchita first won Eurovision for Austria a couple of years ago, that was still when all the votes were broken down, UK voted for her.
Yep.
Yeah. I genuinely don't see why they wouldn't. They wouldn't go.
No,
they wouldn't go for Sean Miley Moore.
I've been thinking quite a lot. The price has crashed into 9-2 now, so it's not like we're
going to. Yeah, there were some double figures last week before his performance. But yeah, I think that there's still question marks to me over sort of four or five of the sort of top ones.
Well, Louisa Johnson's a shocking favourite in my book. I thought she was poor this week.
Vocally, I still think she is your best performer. But I don't think she's got anything else attaching to it. There's no backstory. I mean, bizarrely, it's the only good thing about her is the voice, which makes me think maybe she's on the wrong show.
I want to see
when it gets to the lives, and she'll get to the lives.
Yeah.
But I want to see how they're going to choreograph her, how they're going to get her to perform.
I'll tell you right now, they'll have her sat in a hoop hovering around the stage with angelic stuff around her.
Yeah, but they've done that before. They did that with Lauren Platt last year.
Oh, that's what they'll do. They'll make her into some sort of fairy kind of
and then
creature.
Simon Cowell complained, well, why have you done this? It's difficult to explain. Yeah. I mean, I think, despite reservation, I think Sean Miley Moore out the top five does represent probably the better value of all of them. Keira Weathers was, I thought she was poor this week.
Well,
I just didn't get it. Simon said during the actual thing that he didn't like her voice, and that was more to me that it's really to push Louisa Johnson. Louisa again got the pimp slot. Keira was halfway through the show. I think it was definitely a backward step from what we saw the first sort of 2-3 weeks of the show.
Fourth Impact were worse than they were when we first really saw them properly.
I like Fourth Impact more on the fact that I don't really like. I can't see any of the other groups. Alien just looked like a mishmash of anything really. Vocally, I don't think they're very good. The stage show, I think, would be very good, but I just don't see. I don't think vocally they're strong enough. The First Kings, I'm not overly sure what they want to be, whether they want to go down the sort of one
they
direction.
Kings. But,
well, I'm not sure they're sort of anything. They're sort of gone down the sort of middle of the road thing. And I think until they, I mean, once obviously the Simon with the groups, he works out what he wants them to be, then I think they'll be all right. But at the moment, 2-3 performances have been completely different than that. And I mean, of the others, there's not really. Becklin didn't even get shown. Men on Point, I don't think got shown till extra. Didn't get shown at all. Men on Point didn't get shown to Extra Factor. And then they're trying to get this this other group, Silver Tone, who have basically just disobeyed him, and he's trying to get them to sing gospel. But I don't think that's a vote winner either. So I don't really see anything. I can't really see him getting past the six-chair challenge.
No, I tend to agree with everything you just said there. Che Chesterman was very good again. I think he's obviously got a definite.
Well, he was good. He was
place
that
in
was,
the show.
That was probably the performance, wasn't it? But I mean, they were again. He was coming up saying that he's got no person. Simon's saying he's got no personality. He's got no sort of stage presence, and that's something that again they're going to have to work on. Vocally perfect, but again, falls a little bit into the Louisa Johnson camp of. Yeah, very good vocally, but it's delivering the whole thing, and the whole package has to be delivered. And if you're missing out on certain bits, having no personality and no presence is going to be really difficult to sort of get over. And it's also going to be difficult to get over to the voting public during the show, because people have already now got in their minds that there's no personality. So
yeah, but I think he's got there's scope there. We've had other male acts who've struggled a little bit and then they've kind of come out of themselves. We know that by the time the makeover's done, Rob, he won't be wearing a cap backwards and have a little goatee beard.
He'll
look like someone completely
different.
So I mean, I think, you know, there's a bit of a journey there for him. Josh Daniel and Simon Lynch, who are both 16-1, I thought they were both above average. Some of the best performers of that show, to be fair. Josh Daniel's obviously got a place in a lot of people's minds because he's had God knows how many 10 million or more YouTube views because after he made Simon Cowell cry. So whether it's for him or for Simon Cowell, a lot of people have seen Josh Daniel on YouTube. Simon Lynch looks like a typical male X Factor contestant. Chloe Page
is an interesting one, isn't she? Because I think somewhere down the line she's probably going to be the value top girl, so to speak, because she's probably going to at some stage you'd think Louisa and Kira are going to get in, and then it's a choice between Chloe Page and Monica Michael and probably Lauren Murray, and you can just see having to make this deliberation and go on for ages to decide between the top three. So probably enough airtime in that Chloe is probably going to be the value of the three girls that get through.
There's been another Chloe. There's been an article about this week, Chloe Baker, who gets through to the six chair challenge but hasn't been featured on any part of the show, which is we obviously know that means she ain't going to go too far.
There's a few.
It's amazing.
There's a few when you read
betting.
The list. We got asked for a guy called Danny Sharples, who's 50-1 at the moment, and he's not appeared in any TV. He's not even appeared, I don't think, on the Extra Factor either.
Unbelievable. There was a snippet of this girl on the Extra Factor, and she, you know, tweeted, you know, her own little bit of footage because no one has seen her, but she gets through to the six chair challenge. That's unbelievable.
Well, it's the same with Danny Sharples, and we've not got
scandalous.
But then they've spent a 2-hour show a couple of weeks ago showing people Ryan Routledge and people like that who were never going to get through anyway.
Exactly. I tell you what, I mean, this is, I know she's not going to win, but do you know my favourite contest? Sean Mallymore, amazing, and you know, from a betting perspective, I think there's an awful lot going for him. Do you know who I really like? Jennifer Phillips, 25-1.
She's
the
one who
brilliant.
Looks like the girl out of Gogglebox, isn't she?
Which girl
is she? The older one.
Yes, yeah, she is. Yeah. One of the reasons I like her is because my wife's called Jennifer Phelps, and so it makes me chortle every time it says Jennifer Phillips because it's quite close to my wife's name. Anyway, that's just a personal thing that we laugh about at home.
Must be riveting in your house. Absolutely riveting.
But she's brilliant, this Jennifer Phillips. She's absolutely
brilliant. Yeah.
She won't win. I'm not saying she's going to win, but
no,
I'd
the
love
older
to see her show. She's going to be one of those where everyone's like off the sofa dancing around to her.
Well, I quite like that Anson Steffens as well.
I think there's
a little bit of a journey
with
both of them, isn't
although,
there?
And have a look at this. It looks like he's sucked a dummy all his life.
Yeah, definitely.
His teeth kind of look like they've had a dummy attached to them all his life.
I don't know which way they go with. I'm struggling to find out who the third over would be.
Yeah, let's hope it's not Bupsy.
Well, Bupsy might get in.
The thing is, mate,
they need a little bit more of a novelty act.
I was wondering this question last week.
Could be the winner.
Who's the third one? They only have to be 28. It's not like there's probably a couple in there. I mean, how old is Sean Miley Moore?
No, Sean's definitely under boys, isn't he?
Sean Miley Moore. How old is Sean?
I thought he was only about 23.
He looks about 40. What, Sean Miley Moore is not on... he must be on Wikipedia, surely.
Mate, he's been on three shows on X Factor.
No,
I've
been,
got more chance of getting a Wikipedia page at the moment than
he has. In Australia.
I'm pretty famous.
He's not famous in Australia, I'm lying, but he's got a bit of a Broadway career. I want to see where it says how old he is, because I reckon they're hiding his age from us.
What, just to sneak him into... 24?
24. He's 24. Never 24.
It's a tough paper, man.
He is never 24. He is never 24. I'm not having that. I want to see a copy of his birth date. Now.
I got asked for ID in a rival bookmakers about 3 months ago.
What?
I know. Genuine.
What, have they got a 40 age limit or something?
Yeah, probably. So there you go. Asked for ID at the age of 38.
Excellent. That's excellent for you. Shall we call it a day there?
I don't think
there's
anything
else. There's no one else in there, is there? We've gone down to 25 to 1. I think we need to I think we'll draw a line under that. Elsewhere on the TV and specials page, we've got BBC Sports Personality of the Year. There's the X Factor and Strictly specials, of course. The Voice Oscars, Eurovision Christmas specials, James Bond, the RIBA Sterling Prize Music specials.
Mobo's
in Leeds.
In Leeds this year.
Yes,
I've not got my free ticket yet, but I'm sure you'll help me with it, Lee.
Well, absolutely, yes. Nobel Prize, Royal Specials, Olympic Specials and Next Pope.
Yeah,
enjoy.
That's about that.
Yeah. Well, if you're watching X Factor and Strictly this weekend and you're having a bet, then best of luck.
Come and tweet us as well.
Why not?
Because I don't want to watch the Rugby Union, so I'm quite happy to do the X Factor and Strictly over the weekend.
It's
so,
reality _ Rob, and I'm at Lee Phelps. I do like that 9-4, you and Thomas to go. I thought it was an excellent argument put up by both of you. I think that's a standout bet this weekend. I think it may be one of those that you look back on and think, God, that was a nice price at 9-4, and may well be shorter than that by the time the show is on Saturday night. Enjoy Strictly, enjoy X Factor. We'll be back next week with more of the same. In the meantime, if you're having a bet on any of the specials markets, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.